Vision Casting Leaders in the Church, Differences Between Men and Women, Naturalism, Biblical Archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Statues of you across the empire.
We will have one in the temple.
We should assume there'll be a full-scale rebellion.
This is about the destruction of the temple!
Thank you, Joanna, for leading me to Jesus.
Tabitha?
All enemies of Rome are punished and crushed. And you are?
Chief treasurer to the Queen of Ethiopia.
You tell this Ethiopian that we would be honored to entertain such an important visitor.
Soon, the abomination will be here. A statue that heralds eternal war. Do you not see that
we need to unite to fight this monstrosity?
We aren't enemies, James.
If this is true, stop persecuting us.
This could be the end.
That's a recap of Sunday night's episode of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to do a little review of that 10th episode. He says that there's a lot of fan fiction going on there. A lot of, well, some of the same characters, a few of the same characters are appearing here as we find in the book of Acts. They're not necessarily doing the same things that they're doing in the book of Acts. Pastor Ted Giese is a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
You say that this 10th episode was mostly fan fiction. What do you mean by that?
Well, we had an episode like this a little while ago, too, with this miniseries where it was just very not based on a lot of scripture. So again, this one is taken from chapter 9 of the book of Acts, verses 28 to 30, so three verses. So when you just have three short verses of the book of Acts and you're going to do a whole hour-long show, then you're going to have to inject quite a bit of fiction into it in order to make a show for people to watch. So fan fiction, because clearly the people who are making this have a love for scripture, but fiction, because it's not really based on much that you're going to actually find in Scripture.
Now, there's an incident that is included in the storyline here that's pretty important to their telling of this story. It certainly isn't included in the book of Acts, but it's part of their storyline. And that is a statue that Emperor Caligula, I believe, sets up in Jerusalem. Review what's been put in here into the plot line and why it's so significant to AD, The Bible Continues.
So this kind of came up in a big way in the previous episode, and we didn't really have a chance to talk too much about it, but it's probably good to talk about it now because so much of this episode is based on this. So those listening may recall from the last week when we were talking about this how there was this kind of three-year gap that they didn't really account for. When Saul, who is going to be Paul, after his conversion had gone away, but before he came to Jerusalem, they just kind of glossed over that. And one of the troubles was that it throws the timeline of what Scripture has off, but at the same time, they also threw off the timeline of recorded history outside of Scripture, too, where the emperor Tiberius was murdered by Caligula, who becomes emperor, but again, the timing was off. So what you end up having is Caligula becomes emperor too early, and Tiberius dies too early for what recorded history has that as occurring. One of the things with all of this is that once Caligula does become emperor, and this is a historical thing, he wants to have a statue of himself in Jerusalem, in the temple, which would be a giant breaking of the first commandment. And historically, this is something that Caligula tried to do. He made the announcement that he was going to do this, and he set everything in motion to have it happen. It didn't end up happening, but you know, it even got to the point where he had an army traveling with this statue of him in case there was a problem. Outside of this TV show, AD, The Bible Continues, they do have to deal, like in real history, like in actual history, they had to deal with this, and it was a giant concern. So what you do get in this show is that they are covering over that, and the fear of this statue coming sets into motion a lot of the narrative drama for the show. So you've got like the Zealots, and you've got Pilate and Caiaphas and Caiaphas's wife, and all of these characters are all embroiled in this fear that this is going to show up and that it's going to throw everything into turmoil. In history, and sorry to spoil this for everybody, in history, it doesn't get set up in the temple, mostly because the person sent to do it decides to relent and sends a letter back to Caligula saying, I can't really do this. I don't think we should do this. Caligula flips out and sends a letter saying, you're dead, basically, and this is going to happen. But that letter doesn't get there. Another event happens. Caligula dies. And then the ship with the information about Caligula dying gets to Judea before the letter of reprimand. So the statue never gets set up in the temple, but the fear of it is a big part of actually the history of that region at that time. Again, it's just off by 3 years or so from historically when it would have happened. And Scripture itself doesn't specifically talk about this, but the characters in the show, are including Caiaphas, the high priest, are worried that this is the possible fulfillment of Daniel chapter 11 of the abomination being set up in the temple. So this is, you know, in a nutshell, what that's all about. So if people have been watching the show and they're like, I remember this from the Bible, well, it wasn't in the Bible, and it is in history, it just isn't in history where it ought to be to line up with the Bible, if you know what I mean.
Two things that are in this episode that are from the book of Acts, and that's kind of an odd thing to say when you're reviewing a show that's supposed to be based upon that,
yeah,
are two characters, James the Just, that's the brother of our Lord, and then the Ethiopian eunuch. How do they handle it?
Yeah, I was, I think last time we talked, I was lamenting whether or not we were ever going to see the Ethiopian eunuch, and so we do get to see him, which is great. And I'm looking forward to, I think probably in the next episode, I said this a number of times, that he might have his baptism. But in this case, what happens is you get introduced to him as he arrives into Jerusalem, and he brings tribute to the temple. So he's kind of got an offering. And there's kind of a speculative twist on this that they have Caiaphas giving him the scroll of Isaiah, like the writings of Isaiah. So kind of saying where he might have got that scroll from that later we'll see him reading. So that's a little speculative turn. We know that he has that scroll of Isaiah. We just don't know exactly where he got it from. The other thing is that's okay. All that stuff is fine. There's this other kind of weird thing that they put in there though, is that he also has money secretly that he's giving to the Zealots, and it's more money than he gave to the temple. So that's kind of, again, speculative stuff. Not as productive or helpful, I don't think. But it kind of puts him into this whole kind of, like, I don't know, the political scene that's going on in Jerusalem.
They're pretty determined to keep that thing going. The Zealots is a major part of this story, aren't they?
They are. And I think that it's because of later things that do happen, like the Bar Kokhba revolt. But again, like, that stuff happens so far away from the events that we're looking at here. But yeah, they are very intent on having the Zealots be all the way through. And in fact, one of the little side things that happens in this is that Simon gets mixed up with the Zealots. And I guess what it's inferring, or what it's saying actually in the show, is that the reason he's called Simon the Zealot is because of this, getting mixed up with the Zealots. Except from reading Scripture, it's more like he was a zealot before he was called by Christ, sort of like Matthew was a tax collector before he was called by Christ. That's what Scripture infers, not that after the resurrection of Christ, then Simon got mixed up with zealots. That's quite speculative, but they're using that. And again, it's another way to kind of get the zealots involved. The other way the zealots are involved in this is that Saul, who will become Paul, he's now back in Jerusalem, like we talked about last week, but he's they want to have him killed. And this is one of the parts where it matches up with Scripture. What doesn't match up is that the high priest Caiaphas's wife, Leah, who again is a fictionalized character, we know he had a wife, but the fact that her name is Leah and that she's involved in all this stuff is fictional. She ends up talking with the zealots, and she organizes for them to be involved in a plot to kill Saul. And then Simon gets mixed up in that too, because he's supposed to give Saul up to them so that he would kill them. So again, this is all speculative, but it's based on half of verse 29 of Acts chapter 9, which is where it says that they were seeking to kill him. Saul, like the Hellenists, were seeking to kill him.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We're reviewing episode 10 of the TV miniseries AD, The Bible Continues. When we come back, do they get James right? We'll be right back.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Listen to chapel services live weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana at issuesetc.org. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings, 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
There is confusion about marriage in the world, but not with Jesus and his scriptures. Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be having a conference on Tuesday, June 30th at St. Paul Lutheran Church, Hamel, Illinois, on marriages and weddings. Come and hear the theology of marriage and the theology of the wedding and be strengthened in confessing. Helpful sectionals for pastors and laity in the finest of the church's worship. For more information, go to gottesdienstonline.blogspot.com.
Throughout the history of the United States, we as a country have enjoyed our catchphrases from "Give me liberty" or "Give me death" to today's classic "It is what it is." TV commercials have added such classics as "Where's the beef?" to "Eat fresh." Here at St. Mark Lutheran Church in Edmond, Oklahoma, we do not resort to catchphrases. Here we are about growing God's family by preaching God's word, by administering the sacraments, and building up God's people. So the next time you find yourself in central Oklahoma on a Sunday morning, come join the friendly folks at St. Mark in Edmond. You'll be glad you did. This is most certainly true.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, reviewing the mini-series AD The Bible Continues with Pastor Ted Giese, Associate Pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. You were mentioned before the Ethiopian eunuch. The other character that I'd asked about was James, the brother of our Lord. Do they get him right, especially compared to what we know of him from the New Testament church?
I you know what? This was a bit of a surprise in kind of a good way. Like, there's a little part of it where it didn't work quite maybe as well as it ought to have. But what they did was they introduced him, because we were actually, my wife and I were just going for a walk before we watched the show the other night, and I said, well, they got to introduce James at some point, because like, they haven't. And then, sure enough, at the beginning of the episode, that's the first thing they do, is that James the Just shows up. And what happens is he's in Galilee, and he's having a dream. And he's dreaming about being a child himself, and he's in Jerusalem, and he's looking for Jesus. And what it is it's Jesus. He finds Jesus in the temple. So this is Jesus in the temple talking with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and everyone in the temple. And he's a little, the way they depict it is that James is a little younger than Jesus. So this is, but they don't really necessarily make it like clear that it's like that they're brothers. They could be cousins perhaps still, just the way that they've kind of, they did it in the show is a little ambiguous, which is fine because scripture isn't maybe as clear as some people would like about that. But they have that in there, and that's how they introduce him. So when he's had that dream, then he comes down, he goes up, rather, to Jerusalem. And when he arrives, then he really does start to take on a leadership role, which is the way he is in the book of Acts. And he ends up talking with Caiaphas, and that's done actually fairly well. And he's, you know, again, some of it is speculative because, you know, is he involved in decisions about what to do with this Saul character at that time? No, because Scripture doesn't have Saul there at that time. But that's part of it. So they do a good job of that. And they even have a spot where the apostles and those gathered there are asking, well, what was Jesus like as a child? And at that moment, I thought to myself, oh, please don't bring in some stuff from the Gospel of Thomas, quote-unquote, the Gospel of Thomas. Don't bring in this Gnostic stuff. And they didn't. Like, to their credit, they didn't do that. And I was happy to see that, actually. But he did kind of talk about Jesus in terms of, like, you know, growing in stature and being full of wisdom and grace. Like, that kind of stuff was what he was talking about. So that was a bit of a good thing. The only little thing that I might say wasn't as good when it comes to James the Just was the fact that they kind of implied that he was a believer in Jesus for quite a while, where Scripture more so implies that he would have been somebody who came to faith in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Christ, following the resurrection. And, you know, like St. Paul, Saul, who becomes St. Paul, later talks about in 1 Corinthians 15.
How do baptism, how does Lord's Supper and preaching fare here with just a few minutes before we wrap it up?
The sacrament of the altar, so Lord's Supper, not so much this week, although you'd think that maybe it would come up because one of the things that Saul is doing in this episode is that he's pointing out that they don't need the temple anymore because Jesus has fulfilled the law. So, and he also talks about forgiveness of sins and that coming from Jesus alone. So you'd think that communion would come up in the context of that, but it doesn't. Baptism is kind of part of a major side plot that goes on in the episode. There is a lady named Tabitha, who I think is going to play probably in the next couple episodes too, who comes to faith and basically by evangelism being done by Mary Magdalene. Like, they work together in Pilate's house. Again, this is speculative fiction, but she gets to the point where she wants to be baptized. So baptism, again, is there in that storyline. Unfortunately, in this fictional storyline, it gets found out by Herodotus, Antipas's wife, and Claudia, Pilate's wife, and instead of forgiving her, this whole episode takes place on the eve of Yom Kippur, so the Day of Atonement. So instead of forgiving her her indiscretions, they decide that she's going to be released from her work, so laid off, and then Pilate actually has her beaten by the centurion, Cornelius, in front of the Ethiopian eunuch who's at a dinner party at Pilate's. So anyways, this is a little side thing, but baptism is a key part of that story because it is the reason why she's being beaten. She does manage, she doesn't die from her beating. She is with the disciples afterwards, the apostles rather. And Saul is there. And then Saul, this nice part is this kind of fits in with preaching a bit. It's kind of like a sermon to one person. He's there comforting her after she'd been beaten, this Tabitha. And he says to her something that, you know, he would later write to the Romans in Romans chapter 8. And it's one of my favorite kind of spots in Scripture where he talks about nothing separating you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And he also says from verse 31 of Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who can be against us? So that's kind of one of those. It was a nice moment actually to see that in there. Otherwise, when it comes to preaching, you do get him, Saul, doing some preaching. It's kind of like sort of street soapbox kind of style preaching kind of stuff, but it's in there. So,
Pastor Ted Giese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he's taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity in the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon, June the 8th. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest. We'll be talking about the creation of the angels and what they were created for, locating ourselves there in Acts chapter 12 with Pastor Tom Baker.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality. You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The thing that really is wonderful is to be able to read them as the witnesses that they are to the saving gospel of Christ.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran approach to the Church Fathers.
To deburden them from infallibility. Nobody believes they're infallible. Everybody agrees that there are things in them that they don't agree with. But the reading of the Fathers itself can be a huge help and light. If people have walked the terrain you've walked before and made a map, it might be worthwhile to consult it before you head out in the same terrain. And in that way, their work through the Scriptures has been most beneficial to the Church across time.
You can meet and hear Will Whedon June 19th and 20th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.